in the desert. The Edenic conditions are going to be restored. You're going to be able to ride on the back of any kind of wild beast because it won't be wild anymore. God's going to make it all peace and it's all going to prosper. They're going to take their swords. They're going to beat them into plowshares and pruning hooks. We're going to be farmers. You say, I hate farming. You hate farming because it's hot and it's hard. But in that day, my wife, she goes, she got this little garden. It was real little. I said, honey, you got to add at least 3 or 4 more feet on that thing around because I'm embarrassed by that little garden you got. Which meant I had to do the digging. Now, I'm not much of a farmer. I got to be honest with you. I'm not much. But she said, I'm out there, I'm pulling those little grape tomatoes off. And I'm eating that. She says, I'm just laughing. This thing came out of the ground. There it is. How cool is that? Folks, we lose the simple pleasures. We can't laugh anymore. We're too worried about how am I going to pay my cable bill? How am I going to pay my electric? How am I going to get my what job, man? And we're all worried about things and stuff. And God says, no, the simple things. I'm going to give you some peace. You won't have a devil out there tempting you on every hand. He says, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her plagues. Of her sins, but you be not partakers, and that you receive not of her plagues. Her sins have reached unto heaven. That takes us all the way back to Genesis 11. Let us build a tower that reaches unto heaven. He said, I will hold nothing that they have desired to do. I will withhold nothing. What happens? It's finally there. Her sins have reached unto heaven. You know, back in the 60s when they were doing all the drugs, you know, they called it mind expansion. They got into stuff where they were mixing potions, if you will. We'll call it potions for lack of just trying not to be too much like the world in the drug thing. But the word pharmakia is sorceries. He's going to mention that in a minute. But they would get to the place where they would have out-of-body experiences. They would do astral projection. They're walking around out there like it's no big deal. And Phil Collins, he says, man, I know there's a fire that's burning right outside my door. He's going to hell. He knows it. He says, they don't know. He says, but I don't mind. I don't mind. It's okay. And you should follow me. We're all going to hell. Woohoo! And if you look at the picture on the front of his album, he's sweating and his face is red. He's trying to let you know, but you don't care. So I'm not scared. We even have the bumper sticker. Ain't scared. No fear. What I'm saying is, this is what the world's doing to us. And we're like laughing and we're intoxicated. What? Does this make any sense that we're laughing, that we're going to hell? I'm on a highway to hell. I mean, these people are singing about it. That's their songs, many of them. The Bible says, come out of her because I've got to judge her. It's time. And then he says, in fact, I'm going to give you the whip. And I'm going to give you the judgment. And he says, render unto her in verse 6, as she rewarded you. What did she reward you? What is the world really given to the Christian? What is the world really given to the believer? But heartache. The Colosseum in Rome is a testament. One of the few things that stands in the ancient world that we all recognize. Yeah, that's where they used to throw Christians to the lions. Let's go see that. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I heard they used to burn people with the stake over there. That's pretty cool. Let's go see. Oh, they got catacombs. Oh, yeah, they used to shove them. They had to go get their dead and bury them. And there were so many. It's like a honeycomb in there, all those graves. Oh, yeah, but that'll never happen again. That'll never happen again. It's getting down to it now. I have to worry about what's on the internet. I'm thinking, man, I need to pull my messages off because sometimes I'm saying stuff the world doesn't like. And the law begins to press us, and it will come around again. America was blessed because America was good. America's not good anymore. So we're getting whipped to the back of the train. And as we do, we get a little whiplash, but if we'll see what God says He's going to give judgment to the tribulation saints. And He says to them, and I believe we're going to be part of it, but they're going to be part of it. He's tutoring them. He says, render unto her double, according verse 6, to her works. The cup that she has filled to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived luxuriously. So much torment and sorrow give her. See, He's telling His people, come out of her, my people, and give her judgment. Folks, listen. We need to get our Bible on. Because that is the test. That is the plumb line. We will know God's heart. And we will have to execute judgment. And He says, I want you to give her double what she gave you. As the passage unfolds, he gives them judgment. And then we want to see the saddened people who are sad. The only people who are sad here are the kings of the earth. If you let your eye fall down into verse 18, it says in verse 9, it says, "And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her, lament her, for they will see the smoke of her burning." I was imagining how this must look. The Bible says if we suffer with Christ, we'll reign with Him. The Bible says He has made us a kingdom of priests unto our God. The Bible tells us that He is going to totally overwhelm this world for 1,000 years. He Himself at headquarters Jerusalem, reigning right next alongside of David. David will be resurrected. David will be the executive, and he will be the king over even David. But he will be walking amidst Jerusalem and talking to the peoples of the nations. Everybody who is wicked and in the cage will be judged. They will be cast into the lake of fire. And the saints that are tribulation saints will now enter into the millennium. They did not die, so they're not glorified. They will enter into the millennium. They will marry and give in marriage. You and I in chapter 19 are coming back with Jesus. When we come back with Jesus, we will rule and reign with Christ as co-regents. I'll be over Chicago. Actually, Mark will be over Mansfield because, you know, that's about all he can handle. No, just kidding. But He'll give rulers over many things. He's faithful over much, will be given rulership over much. He that is faithful over little will be given rulership over little. He's going to put together a regime of how He wanted it to be in the first place. And you and I, we can't even imagine what that's going to look like. I can't. I've been racking my brain all week, and the only thing I could come up with is God just wanted us to have a simple reality. He wanted us to enjoy each other, because God is all about relationships. Do you know what He gave you guys? He gave you a husband or a wife. He gave you little kids that'll just delight your heart. Glory of an old man is his children's children, right? Lincoln comes over, and I'm like, wow, check him out. He's growing. He's getting so big. And I see all the possibilities that mom and dad can't, because all they're thinking is, what's he getting into now? Stop! And they're running after him. They can't see it, but I see it, because I don't care if he gets anything. Just don't touch my clicker. No, just kidding. But what I'm saying is, He's giving judgment to the saints, and the only people who are going to weep are the kings of the earth, and there will be nations. The Bible says nations will come and bring their glory to Jerusalem, where Jesus is. So there will still be some nations, but all they've ever known is the system that we have today. And it also says down in verse, I believe it's 14, 15, it says, "The merchants of these things which were made rich by her, these also," it says it in verse 10, verse 11, it says, "The merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her." And verse 16, they're going to weep and so forth. Verse 15, it says, they're going to weep over here. I just want you to know the only people who are sad are people who are going to lose their money and going to lose their position. Because we're content who know God to let Him be God. We're content that He's got a plan. Because He's never let us down. You know what? He's got a plan. And the plan is that all be saved and come to knowledge of the truth, but He won't make you. And that's our dispensation. In that dispensation, He has a plan. He's going to show them when He rules with a rod of iron what it looks like to be in a perfect environment. He's going to restore Edenic conditions. He's going to take away the law of fang and claw that is in force right now. You know, when you watch those little National Geographic shows where the lion's chasing down the antelope and, you know, there's blood and guts and we're all saying, man, that's gross. And we get in closer because we can't believe what we're seeing. This is just rip and tear. Beloved, that's going to be gone. Lion's going to lay down with a lamb. He's going to restore things as they were meant to be and show how He meant it to be. And then He's going to show us that even though He does that, man is bent so bad that at the end of 1,000 years, they will still rebel. There will be a number that still will rebel. So what we see here is those are the only ones that are saddened by it. And finally, I want you to see the reality of what He's going to do in regard to the slain. Because the slain give us an idea of who she is. It says in verse 17, "For in 1 hour, so great riches." That word 1 hour shows up 3 times in this passage alone, and it means it's going to happen suddenly. He says, "For in 1 hour, so great riches has come to nothing." Every shipmaster, by the way, if you're thinking about shipmasters and sailors and all that, do you realize Brother George and Brother Ron, these guys drive truck, and they go to a place called shipping and receiving. Did you know that? They still use that, even though he's driving a truck. They call it shipping. Isn't that funny? See, every shipmaster is going to be sitting around saying, man, what are we going to do? The city's broke down. There's nothing to get in the truck. What are we going to do? The Bible says in the passage that they will all be mourning over her. Verse 19, they will cast dust on their heads. Verse 20, he calls for the apostles and the prophets to rejoice over her. Why? Because they're in heaven, and heaven's supposed to rejoice. But they're going to be here real soon. They're going to be on the spot, because chapter 19 is a continuation of this whole thought. And he says that they rejoice over her. God has avenged you on her. Why did God have to avenge you on her? Well, because they killed him. Did you know 11 of the 12 disciples got killed by martyrs' deaths? One was flayed. It was Thomas. Thomas was flayed. Did you know that? You ever flay your fish? They flayed Thomas. You know, through John the Apostle, who wrote this book, threw him in a cauldron of oil, tried to kill him by burning and boiling him to death. He just wouldn't die. And he said, ship him out. So he went out, and God brought him into this zone so he could understand what was coming. Told him the truth, let him write it down for us at the end of the first century. Do you know Peter was crucified upside down, right? Andrew, he had an X cross. Peter's wife was killed. She was killed before he was, so he had to watch her die. What? That doesn't matter? Did I just spook her? I have that effect. The whole point is that this is what's been going on all along. Somebody has estimated that just in the period of the Dark Ages, there was 52 million believers killed on purpose. 52 million. Martyrs. We have been living in a lavish parentheses that the world has never known anything the likes of. Wars and war after war has been because somebody wasn't believing what you believe. This whole thing about the Islamic and terrorism thing, that's religion, man. Those people are reading a book that tells them go kill anybody who doesn't believe what they believe. Jesus is about ready to snap things into order. When he does, he's going to give the saints judgment. There's going to be certain people saddened by it. But the Bible says that he's going to avenge all that blood. Look at the end of verse 24. Look down at the end, because it says no good thing's going to happen in Babylon anymore. All the good stuff's going to stop. Verses 22 and 23. And verse 24 says, And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Didn't say all that were slain recently. It didn't say all that were slain at Babylon, the city. It said all. That's why I believe this is an empire name, a title for the final empire. Because the spirit of Babylon, all the way back to Nimrod, has been dominant all throughout our ages and all throughout our history. And when he comes down to it, God says, because of that system, wars have occurred, people have hated each other, people have killed each other, and she has done it by decree, and she has done it in stealth. She has done it under ecclesiastical edict. She has done it, and she has continued to do it throughout the ages, and it's time to call it done. And he says, all the slain of the earth, and he's going to deal with this system. Folks, this system is not your friend. The Bible says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Did you know that said that? You remember that? You see, this Bible that we have gives us a clear view of what's going on. It is the prism through which it all makes sense. None of us is getting out alive. We've established that. We know that. We've been to funerals. We hate the idea of losing our beloved wife or our beloved husband. We hate the idea that we could lose a child when they get sick and they're sitting there and we're at the side of their bed. But Jesus has made a way. He said, I am the way, and no man comes to the Father but through me. He says, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep. And no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down freely. And if I lay it down freely, I will take it up again. Tear down this temple, if you will. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. And so he did. And he says, now let everyone who is thirsty come. Let the bride say, come. You don't have to perish. You don't have to believe the lie. You don't have to be poured into the mold. You can say, I'm with Jesus. I'm on His team. He's the Savior. He's the King. I'm going with Him. I'm going to do everything I can to make sure my kids see Jesus. Because, man, there is no other way. No other well has water. It's a dry and thirsty land, the Bible says, where no water is. Jesus says, but if you had known who I was that speaketh unto thee, you would have asked me and I would have given you water that springs up inside of you unto everlasting life. Folks, listen, it doesn't make any sense without Jesus. The alternative the world gives you is that you're here, you're protoplasm, you're some sort of smudge on the face of the earth and an accident of change and chance, and they're telling you it doesn't matter. And if you believe that and you take it to its natural conclusion, then we ought to kill all the infirm. We ought to kill all the elderly. We ought to abort all the babies. And if you find one with some Down syndrome, just wipe them out. Give them 30 days. And it's postulated today. Give them a little time. Give them 30 days. They don't like that baby. Kill them. Beloved, they had that right in Rome. Did you know that? A man could say, I don't want to keep that kid. There are letters littering the landscape of ancient Empire Rome. Men could let their kids be put out on the streets and left to die, exposed to the elements. And many of them were forced into slavery of all kinds of unspeakable, terrible things. Why? Because Rome said, let the man be free. America says, let me be free! But we need to remember that freedom is just the right to do what's right. It's never the right to do what's wrong.